Oh, yeah, very welcome to a brand new episode of You Must Be Joking podcast with me, Eric Lawler.
And myself, Will Avoy.
All right. Today's guest is one of Belfast's finest experts. You'll know him from savage crowd work, viral clips, and selling out shows all over Ireland, the UK, Australia, America. He's loud, he's honest, and he somehow makes Belfast even louder. Please welcome the brilliant Paddy MacDonald.
What's happening?
What an introduction.
I'm going to bring you into the room to her at the weekend.
I'm available for her. If anyone needs a little boost on their confidence, just hire me and I'll write something about you.
Paddy, look at you.
Listen.
Suit and boot.
You're the best dressed guest we've ever had on the podcast.
No, you are.
You are. Easily. Look, Treep.
You've even got the fucking Crombie and everything.
Do I look different with the suit on, do
you? You do.
You look guilty, Paddy.
just imagine it. Look, just imagine.
Yeah.
No,
would
no,
it look
no.
Well,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Look well in the
I'm going out the front with Paddy.
The first thing you said to me when you see me wearing it is what? You look like you're only a what?
You look like you're only at the coming from court.
Well, I fucking am only out of fucking court.
You're joking.
I swear to God, I'm only out of fucking court in Dundalk. And I'm not fucking telling you a word of a fucking lie. I was in court in fucking Dundalk. And I'll tell you how it all came about. I was coming down to do the Ambassador's Theatre, October 10th, 24.
Yeah. Right?
And I get fucking stabbed on the M1.
We supported you.
You supported me at night.
I did, yeah.
And what did I tell you happened
that's
on the
right,
way down?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And do you know what we do? I know he is, this fucker does the same thing as me. See when there's something wrong with you or you get in trouble,
yeah.
Right? You don't ask a fucking lawyer or a fucking solicitor or a fucking doctor. You ask fucking somebody from the ghetto. What the fuck do you do here, right? And I asked him his advice and he says to me, leave it with me, I'll ask the fucking guard and know and see what he says. He says, don't worry about it. It's another jurisdiction. Fucking fire on. Yeah, well, I got fucking...
Solid advice there, will I?
Yeah.
I get fucking banned from driving.
What?
I get banned for 6 months from driving. In the south and in the north, because in 2015, Sinn Féin brought in a thing where it's a cross-border. So if you lost your licence down south, you lost it up north.
I did not know that was a thing.
Well, we know it now.
Why do we never knew that either?
It's fucking...
And come here, that's why... I gave you that advice.
No, but you went to ask somebody in the
But I'll tell you why, because I, without incriminating myself or anything, have been involved in traffic offences.
What?
In other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And have always kind of got out of it. Jeez, I never knew that, Paddy.
So they were sending out correspondence, and I never turned up in court last June. And in August, they took the license off me because I never turned up in June. And they banned me for 6 months driving, and they gave me €1,000 fine. And I came back from America, or Canada it was, in October. And she says, there's a letter just come in here, you can't drive your car. And I went, what? She's like, yeah. And she says, and not only that, you're not just banned up here in the north, you're banned down south as well. So the car was in fucking Dublin fucking airport. So,
wouldn't you only live right beside Dublin airport that I drove it up for you?
Well, if I had seen you...
well, you wouldn't let me in your car.
My friend, but he'd
yeah, he'd have drove it up and he'd have been fucking impounded as well on the way.
More tickets than a raffle in an old folks
home. Isn't it a mad thing that you do? You ask people, you don't... Like, I remember when I got gout, the tablets they give me, it was like 5 a day, and the girl told me, you take them over a course, 5 a day, over five days, 3 tablets over 5 days. And I came out and I was waiting on the lift because I couldn't walk with the gout. And I went into a fucking bar waiting on the lift. And the wee man sitting there gave me 2 horses, both of them got beat. And he says, what's in the prescription? And I says, fucking got these tablets for gout. I have them. I says, it says take 3 over fucking 5 days, but I can barely fucking move. He says, bollocks, take the whole fucking lot of them now. Well, didn't I shite my fucking self?
Did you?
Is that what it did? It was like a laxative.
It was a laxative. It's a clear out. It was clearing out the inflammation.
A detox. Oh,
and I
bollocks.
Fucking listen to this fucking bastard and then I fucking shit myself. Do you know? And that's what you do. You listen to me.
Yeah.
He gave me 2 horses. Both of the horses fucking get beat.
And you still believed them.
And I still believed them.
Well, so, Paddy, you're looking smashing now, in fairness.
Well, the judge didn't seem to think.
So when is the... Are you banned from now or are you banned from last?
I was banned from August down south till...
February
6th. Would have been the fucking date and the end. So I went to court in Dundalk, I pushed and pushed and pushed, and they got me in the 9th of December, and they give me the license back from then.
So we were really fucking pushing it fine, booking you for today, when you knew your court appearance was today as well.
But when the date came up, I went, well, sure, I'll go to Dundalk. I knew it was coming up. On the way. In December, she came back. But they says you have to go in front of the original judge who done it. And fuck me, she didn't like speeders fucking it. The guy in front of me was caught with 14 bags of cocaine. And she let him fucking away with like a 300 fucking... euro fucking thing until he
got his phone
and
I'm going,
she's fucking made me, she says, you're fucking sitting here all day, she made me sit there all day, and then she fucking shouted at me in the dock and she says, is there a difference between the speeding up north and down south? And I says, what do you mean? And she went, is there a different speed on the road? And I went, yes. And she fucking was raging. I said, but there is.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah,
we're miles per hour and use your kilo. And she went, that's talking about the speed limit. And I went, no, there's a difference in that too, because like you can do 75 down here, but only 70 up there. And she says, now you need to be quiet and listen to me. She says, I've got.
But you were only answering honestly.
I was. Yeah. That's what it says. I took an oath. And she was like, right, now you're being funny. And then she says, if I see you,
I've you're not going to believe this, but I'm.
I didn't even want to tell her. But she dismissed the case, but it was ongoing and fucking thousands of euros later.
Jesus
when
Christ!
When you lost your license, it's not a fucking joke.
Well, Louis had a mate of mine who had open insurance on his car, and when he used to get penalty points, he used to ring his cousin in London, and his cousin used to send him over a photograph of his license and give him the number of the license, and he couldn't put the penalty points onto him. Now, only if you're caught by a camera.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're physically stopped.
Yeah.
You can't, because he only spoke to me nephew actually earlier on, funny enough, on the phone, and he's either getting 6 penalty points in the last 2 months.
Yeah, so
the best way around it is don't penalty speed. Points.
Don't drive.
But what was the charge? Was speeding? Was it?
It was speeding.
Yeah.
So it was 157 kilometres.
In a 120.
In a 50 zone.
No, in a 120.
Yeah.
So, which was the M1, which I was told.
Well, you know,
we don't own that road. I was told that Spain owns it because we've never paid for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But come in, I tell you, having the speed limits went down at the moment. Mm-hmm. So what used to be 120 is now 1, and what used to be 100 is now 80. They've all went down 20.
On the motorways, no?
That's what I've been told.
Not on the motorways, no. Like some sections of the M50 will be 100 and then 80 and 60. It's more traffic congestion, isn't it? You have
the
tunnels.
The tunnels area, I noticed that. Coming
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the tunnel is 80. You've got to just put in the cruise control and go through that.
The reason I didn't know that that was an offence, Paddy, was because, like, even to this day, when I'm driving up north or on the M1 at all, and my grandson lives just outside Dundalk, so I drive up to him a lot, and the amount of Northern Reg cars who overtake you doing 150, 160, and going, them jammy bastards, they'll never get pulled in.
No, the fucking.
Well, I see them going through that tunnel, and it's like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. When they're coming off the sights in the evening from Dublin. And I'm telling you, they drove like they're robbed. But I tell you, that's a great thing now, because you've actually made me think twice for when I go up the north.
Don't.
Because usually when I'm leaving the north, my foot has a bit of weight on it, and I do put it down.
My mate didn't believe me. He deals in cars. He has a big fucking, like, supercars. So he has a big dealership. And he was like, I don't fucking believe this. And he actually came down with me. And he couldn't believe it. Because I don't have any points in my license, north or south. And I got the license took off me. 6 months, €1,000 fucking fine.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Paddy. I will not be voting Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
For doing. Why? Because Paddy got done.
Oh, the bleeding.
No, they brought it in.
They brought it in.
They brought it in.
Well, who would you vote instead?
Who would I vote instead?
Fianna Gael? Fianna Fáil? They're all jokes.
DUP?
Down here?
Yeah, well. They're going to be down here at some stage.
When the United Ireland happens, the DUP will be a viable choice.
So come here. How? Sorry, I'm at the cutting across. You go on. You were saying
I was joking about the DUP.
How have you been? How you come here? I look, obviously, we're friends, me, you and Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously, I follow you on Instagram as well. You're bleeding all over the place, man.
Yeah, I'm just putting the work in.
You really are, Paddy. You're a grafter.
Putting the work in. Just trying to go everywhere and anywhere. I mean, I think Ireland in general, we all had that boom just after the COVID and everyone was doing the arenas and stuff like that. And people don't have the fucking money anymore. And I was trying to keep my tickets down. I like to keep my tickets 20 fucking quid.
Yeah.
Because
affordable. Yeah.
Yeah. Because,
especially for the people who follow us. 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The people that follow me are working class people that have kids and, you know, not everybody has a load of money. So I try and keep it. And the last time I've done the arena, the cost of rigging has doubled. So say it was £20,000 to put the stage up, it's now 40.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, and speaking to the guys that own the companies, they're like, most of the lads are going into the movie sets and they're all getting 2-3 grand a week. Now, it's not permanent, but to stop them leaving, he's had to up their wages. So his wage bill's doubled, you know, and he just says, look, that's where we're at, Paddy. It's not...
So the overheads have increased.
Overheads have increased. So it's just like, I'm like, well, I need to broaden. I need to go elsewhere. Went to Australia 2 years ago and back again there in November.
How was that?
It's fucking... What a beautiful country.
It's one of my goals, dreams, is to go to Australia to do stand-up. I've never done it. You've never been to Australia. But I see the likes of yourself, Paddy. The likes... Oh, I'd love to do it at some stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
next time you do it, just come with me.
Three Irish fellas walk into
just
a bar.
Just come with me. I mean, I've said this loads of Irish acts. Why don't you just come with me?
I would. Well, I'm telling you something for nothing, Paddy.
You're not going to charge him?
No, I'm not charging him. I'm telling him this one for nothing. I would definitely be into that.
Just come along the next time. Like, I've said to loads of acts and play it, because if we create the scene over there, it's better for everyone.
Yeah, but if we also create a hype about it, I think, before we go, because there's that many Irish in Australia. Yeah. Like, there's bleeding thousands of them.
I mean, if we went together, you're going to get the Southern, because it's harder for me to get the Southern lads, because I don't play down here as much.
And then the other side is,
Not only that as well, like, you've got a host as well then. Do you know what I mean? And a double header.
Yeah.
Do you
know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
like,
there's more
in the night. That I've said this. I've been saying this for 2 years when I've been going over. I've been saying it to the PR companies. And don't get me wrong, I go and I play 300-400 seaters. I think the biggest one was 600. So I've built it, and I've only been out there twice.
Amazing, Paddy.
So it's built up from
the Paddy, are they mostly northern heads?
No, not necessarily. No? Okay. And that's my point. I'm getting... There's a lot of... If they're working on construction sites, they're bringing Southern lads with them as well.
Right.
You know?
Love that.
And there is some Southern lads, but not loads. But when they come, they go, fucking hell, that's guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, load of Dublin guys, and they're like, you know, fucking, I didn't even see you before.
And I suppose, like, when you go somewhere that far, Paddy, it's a taste of home for a lot of people. They're like, oh, that's what we love. You know what I mean?
It's like a packet of potatoes.
I was just going to say that.
It's like a pot of fucking sauce. It's, you know, it's like...
Like, we used to do an Irish comedy festival out in Dubai every January, and, like, there would be, like, 300-400 at the gigs, but... The like 50% of them will be Irish expats, but then there was Australians, English people who speak English.
Yes,
but to any Irish person we spoke to out there, it was like, I just needed to hear the accent. That's all I needed to hear.
You just needed,
like, your jokes were shit, but I loved your voice.
But you know what? Like, this year when I went out in Sydney, I noticed a big amount of Australians in. Last year, like, it was two shows. We'd done 200-340 seaters. We'd done an early and a late. And the second show had a lot of Australians, and then it was people bringing them. And this year, the front row was in the bigger room.
Aussies.
Was all Aussies.
Brilliant.
So they came back.
That's great.
You know, and it's and that's my biggest fear, is that they will understand, you know, the accent and stuff like that. I played Austin, Texas, and on Joe Rogan's Mothership.
Joe Rogan's Mothership?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's his comedy club.
No way.
Yeah, so played that. Just there in January, Texas people are not too sure about Irish people.
What do you mean you're not sure?
It was
what we believe in, or the accent, or
I think what we believe in too. Right. Like, my opening joke was, I know I have to slow down to talk for you. Every act that was on, say there was 20 acts on in this room, because everybody wants to play us club from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's 20 acts.
It's a badge of honour.
Yeah, like, here, you've seven minutes, and I'm like, I'm only warming up at 7 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, so I have to try and be high impact. So I went on stage, and I was like, I understand that I have to slow down. Every accent was American, and then I come on, and they're like, you can see straight away, they're like, what the hell is
going on?
And then I was like, I understand I sound like a washing machine with two concrete blocks in it, but I'll slow it down. You say things that we don't say. You say tomato, we say tomato. You say aluminium, we say aluminium. You say they're only defend themselves, we say it's fucking genocide. Tumble fucking weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Tumble, yeah. They were like, what?
The accent, right? You've got a beautiful, strong Belfast accent.
Brogue.
It's a beautiful lilt. I love the Belfast accent, and you're one of the best exponents of the Belfast accent that I know. But also, what I want to ask you, right? Down south, right? We think we have a myriad, multitude of accents. As we do, we have the Cork accent, we've got the Dublin accent, you've Cavan, you've in between. But to us, the northern accent sounds all samey. Now, Belfast, I will grant you, sounds a little bit different to other northern accents. There was a vote taken there recently about the worst accent down south, and a lot of people said it was the Drogheda accent, because they speak like that. Now, they are now in your big blue car. Apologies to any Drogheda people listening to this. What is, in your opinion, the worst accent up north? In your opinion.
I'm going to get in trouble with this.
He's going to lose shows here. Okay, the one that's...
Ballymoney.
Ballymoney. Whereabouts in north is that?
North Antrim.
Oh,
north
seriously, Antrim. You're going to gig up there?
I genuinely, like, it's so hard. Put it this way, I'll give you an example. Joey Dunlap was the best motorcycle rider, right?
Yeah.
I get a lot of shit about this bit that I do about it, right? But Joey Dunlap was the best motorcycle ever, and Mom was a fucking unbelievable. Family were unbelievable motorbike riders, but he never got like, this is your life, or never interviewed properly like really? That. And that, my joke is that the reason being is because he sounded like the fucking motorbike he won the race on. Joey, hard to go there. You won the big one, the TT, hard to go for you. Neem, neem, fucking neem, neem, you know, and they do sound like that.
Yeah.
You know, or fucking neem, fucking, fucking do that, fucking yeah, yeah. And even like, you know, Liam Neeson fucking was in Star Wars. Like, yeah. If he hadn't changed his accent from Ballymena,
yeah.
Which isn't too far away.
Is it only the road?
Sorry, it was Ballymena I done the gig in.
Yeah.
They didn't like my accent there.
The Braid, was it the Braid?
Yeah, upstairs in that, yeah. in the pub. I was up there I was up there with Joe Rooney. And it was real. There was tension in the public.
Do you know, so many people hate Ballymena. I never, even when I do them jokes, like there's an element of them don't like me, but I always do really well. But most of the Northern acts don't even like playing it. Like, I put a show on it all the time, but they get, because yeah. They're real refereeing, you know, and they were, it was funny because they were putting out a lot of people in the town. It was all over the news. And I was like, could you imagine fucking being a foreigner and Ballymena and your door raps and somebody is standing there and you open and you don't really understand the language and he goes, man, fucking eat that fucking head and you get fucking 2 months down. You wouldn't have knew what he said anyway, you know. But look, Liam Neeson's a fucking Hollywood actor, but Star Wars would have been a different movie if he hadn't changed his fucking accent, wouldn't it?
100%.
Paddy, another question we have for you, and because we do a little bit of prep right end it, well, end of the producer does.
Good luck.
And he said, while we're on the subject of accents, he said, did this with John Bishop, first time he'd never heard of Wael Handlin.
Wael Handlin. So real culty, Norlin.
What is it?
It's a Wael Handlin, like. Well, it'd be like a Derry sort of direction, but like culty, Derry sort of Donegal area.
Brown boots with jeans and a check short. G-lay and a check short. What's going on with
G-lay, that? Check short, brown boots. You can fucking tell.
Oh, it's everywhere. Every like, culture has it.
Yeah, yeah, you could like it's like fucking two Johnnies in the park, isn't it?
Like, yeah, you know seriously, what I
mean? And see in Australia, they fucking still wear the same stuff.
Oh, they brought it down south.
They still
down under.
The culties from back home in Australia still wear all that.
You know, do you have a pair of shorts on with the brown boots?
They don't even. They wear fucking jeans.
Oh, drain pipes.
You can fucking tell them like
the boot cut. Sorry, boot cut. Come here, what does Wael Handlin mean? How would you put it in the context?
Wael Handlin is fucking every day. It's a Wael Handlin. Like, there's fucking an issue. You know, like, fucking the traffic. There's a Wael Handlin.
Like, it's so hard to handle, like.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what the Dublin equivalent to that would be. What would it be? Like,
I've never even heard of that before.
It's a load of bollocks.
A fucking nightmare.
Don't get me started.
Belfast is probably, it's a fucking nightmare.
Oh, okay. Same, kind of same as here.
A Wael Handlin. Okay, so I'm getting it now. You know, you do a lot of podcasts, and this is a different podcast. We want you to tell the story you told before, another podcast, on this podcast. Five?
Browns?
Browns.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me all about it. Set it up.
So, the five brands came about because a friend of mine got a job in Social Security office, right? Is that what you call it down here?
The dole office,
right? And what used to happen was, because there was a bit of trouble up there and everybody knew people, right? They didn't really bring people in to investigate, so you got away with whatever you wanted. But now the troubles is going away and they're...
need more time to focus.
And they're starting to pull people a lot more. So this girl got brought in, my mate works in the brew, and he's not mad to tell you the stories, but every day at fucking 3:45 he'd ring me, you'll never believe this one, you'll never. And I'll never forget it. I was on a ladder, and he says to me, where are you? And I says, I'm up a ladder, and he says, hold on tight, because what I'm about to tell you is going to blow your mind. And it was a girl we knew when we were younger, and he was like, she came in, they pulled her in, and they says, you've put in 5 crisis loans to get them down here?
Yeah.
5 crisis loans for your son called Bran. You can only get one. And she went, but it's 5 different sons. And he went, see, you said this in the application, but how's your 5 sons all called Brad? And she says, because the only man I ever trusted was my daddy. The only man I ever loved was my father. So my sons all deserve to have his name. So they're all called Brad. And the guy in the brew was like, that's confusing for us. And she's like, what's your problem? And he was like, well, if it's confusing for us in admin, is it not confusing for Brian's?
Yeah.
And she went, no. And he went, well, say you were making a sandwich because one of them, Brian was going to football training, and you made him a sandwich before you made the dinner, and there were, all the Brian's were up the stairs, and you wanted one of the Brian to come down that you'd made the sandwich for. How would he know it's him that you're calling? And she went, are you trying to be funny? And he went, no, I'm genuinely interested. And she went, I'd call him by his surname because they've all different daddies.
For real. Wow.
Brilliant.
Fucking hell.
And God love them, because nobody knew that they were all called Bran, because they all sort of took second names and stuff. Do you know what you would have?
So you'd be calling it Murphy, get down here. Michael Lees, get down here. So,
Jesus Christ.
I am Brian.
I'm Brian. So is my wife.
There are many people that ask me about the brands and where they are and stuff like that. And do you know what?
That's incredible.
One of them has been to my show. One of them has been to show and like came forward to me and talked to me.
So it's true. It's an absolute, it's not even an urban myth. It's true.
It's like working class estates. And
I love that.
It's like you grew up in Ballymun, Buffy, isn't it?
Fingless me.
You know, and it's just, people find it hard to believe. Like, Willa tells a fucking story, and it's hard to believe because you're not from them estates, but, like, in one fucking street could be 10 characters. Things that went on were just, like, I remember our street in the Falls, they were putting 50p's, we had 50p's, you had them down here.
Yeah.
But the meters were 50p's, I don't know if you've had that.
No, we did,
So you put the 50p in the meter. Yeah. But a guy made a mould where you could make them from ice.
Ice?
So you could make ice 50p's.
Right.
So he made the mould and it worked. So he was like telling people about it, and then they were like, oh, such and such wants one. So he started selling the moulds.
For 20
But when he sold it, he says, now you need to drill a hole at the bottom of the fucking box where the fucking 50p goes into. Because they're fucking ice, they're going to melt.
Yeah,
and
it'll
fill up with water, and it's electric, so it'll fucking
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So this dick in the street didn't have a drill bit when he fucking started making them. And I was like, I'll get one next couple of days. Never fucking drilled the hole. The fucking thing filled up, and then he blew up his fucking house. Wee man next door got electrocuted sitting in his fucking chair. Burnt his feet and all. Like, it was a...
Wow.
Take damn kind of fucking stories that...
Yeah.
And he get done, and... the dad called Peter the Meter. Right? And he didn't like it, so then they changed it to Drill Bit, and the dad was called Drill Bit. Right?
Brilliant.
And then the son, so the dad that done it, was Drill Bit, and then his son got Peter the Meter Jr. Right? But his son was called Judas, which was the best of them all the nicknames.
Judas?
The grandson
he
was called
on
Judas.
Him, did he?
No, he was selling electric for one of the electric companies in one of the supermarkets, and somebody seen him and went, Peter the Meter's son, who Drill Bit's grandson, is selling electric for the companies that brought him the court. So they called him Judas, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of fucking way Brilliant. Things are, you know.
Oh, I love that.
The stuff that happened in working class estates is just, it's unreal. Like, you tell people stories from years ago. I remember I sold a fella a chicken for a pound, right? I bought a and come here.
Do you know what? You said that without even giving the before story. And that's what people don't get. People's like, well, where did he get the chicken?
Do you know what
happened? Was it a live
it was a live chicken, right? So I had the chicken on the... And I lived in the flats. So I had it in a shed on the landing, right?
You were really excited because everybody else had a horse.
And my ma says to me, look, get the bleeding chicken because it was shiting. And when you let it out of the shed, it was shooting on the land. We were in the four stories, right? So we may had a gaff down the road. He lived in a garden, and I sold it to him for a pound. I says, you can have this, the chicken, like. And I got the pound on. And the pound was bleeding. It was a lot back in the early 80s, you know. So I went down that Sunday, and I'm in the garden. And here I am looking around. I says, where's the chicken? He goes, we ate that on Wednesday. I says, what? He says, yeah, me that bleeding rang that thing's neck. He says, plucked at me all bleeding out for the dinner.
And that's the way it was.
I'm not a bother, like.
My dad had a donkey. He bought a donkey in the bar. In a bar. And we moved up into a street, but our yard was only like that size there. And the donkey was in the fucking yard. And I couldn't walk forward, and I couldn't walk back, and I couldn't turn around. So the fucking thing would just kick the wall.
Yeah.
Or the fucking door, right? And it get out, one day my dad was away to work and it run down onto the Falls Road and it caused a massive accident, like a fucking bus crashed and a fucking lorry and
nobody died
or anything.
Right,
but
still.
Everybody's like, who the fuck owns that donkey? And somebody's like, fucking up there, number fucking 7 or whatever. And they come up, my man was like, no, we sold our donkey. Somebody else.
I can't prove it,
But my dad bought it in the bar. Like, what was he thinking?
On a whim, just going, actually, do you know what? That's a good bargain, I'll take that.
He says that he was working as an apprentice roofer and the yards where they had the ladders and all, there was no boy had the donkeys in there and he was told to get rid of them because of the fucking shade and the smell. And he's like, well, where am I going to put them? And my dad had got his wages and he was like, well, give us £6 or something, you can have it. My dad was like, fuck, that's a bargain, a donkey.
Oh, fucking
he was
donkey.
Like, I'll get the donkey in. We'll use it in the parade every Easter. What the fuck?
You put Mary and the baby Jesus on it and walking down the street.
You know, it's just like, it was just insane. Like, it was just them kind of things that happened.
And working class pubs in the 70s and 80s was like Argos. The stuff that would come into the pub that people were selling, you'd be just going, what?
Also, in those, like, the towers and the penthouse, like, even if it wasn't a for sale, you went, actually, do you know what I'd love? And then they'd go and get it.
Yeah, they'd order. They'd rob the order. Yeah.
When I done the door in Belfast City Centre, there was four different fellas that sat in the bar on a Saturday. One just stole books. One stole meat. One stole clothes. And another one, he fucking stole something else.
So there was the corner of the market he had for each.
And you come in, like, I was on the door of the bar and people would go, is your man does meat in there? And the guy that done the meat had a fucking pager. Like, it was a big business for him. He actually made the most money.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, like, a fucking woman comes in and goes, I want 7 sirloin steaks out of Marcy's. He went and got you them, you know. But and the guy that stole the books, like, it was all students coming in to get their books from Waterstones.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And he would just, what do you want?
I'm getting a bargain.
Where they go, huh?
So, sure, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean?
You know, it was fucking insane, you know.
Come here, you're getting stuff for half price or total of the price in them times, especially when times are tough as well, like, do you know what I mean? For anyone to be eating steaks out of Marks and Spencer's in the 80s in Belfast is... It's only the Malone Road that do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people from that kind of area.
It's probably the best one, like, because nicknames came from what you done sort of thing. And there was a guy called Firestick.
Right. Illegal channels?
No, he was 10 seconds behind everybody. Right? And they called him Firestick, right?
What a brilliant name.
But he used to come to the bar on his own. And then he turned up with his missus one night in the bar. Like, nobody had ever met his missus before. And she turned up. So they called the dodgy bucks. Do you know, like, it's just, who comes up even with it? It's just, you don't get that anywhere
else. That's the Irish, I suppose, it's even the Irish fans who, you know, Ireland, Sky, and lads
and
got
dodgy bucks
on his jersey instead.
So
I had a mate of mine, he was up with the gaff a few years ago and he was looking to get his car washed and I says to him, go throw out the bonus ball. He says, me, how's bonus ball? I says, just go up and says, he cleaned the car for you. He rings me about 15 minutes later. He goes, you're a fucking bastard. Your man's mince pies like that. And I used to call him bonus ball because he'd a tone in his eye. God bless the mark. And anyone that's listening that has a bleeding eye impediment.
So fucking funny.
But that's what I call
him. What would happen when he cried?
Tears would roll down his back.
Just set that up for you, Willie.
Brilliant. What it is. And nicknames like that, they're kind of dying off an awful lot, you know. People have had them kind of names and characters, like,
because kids aren't in the street, no playing no more.
Yeah,
you know,
there's no social interaction anymore.
Yeah.
Only
so
school.
All that's going to be lost, you know. All that, like, nicknames and.
And come here and I ask you, Paddy, growing up, and I don't really want to talk about the troubles an awful lot, but I'm saying, as a young lad, young boy, growing up in a fucking predominantly Catholic area where the troubles were rife at the time. They just get time, like, to, you know, get out and do the stuff that ordinary kids do, like play games and play football? Or was it just literally out and grab a few rocks and go up the Bleeding Road and get a bit of devilment?
I mean, I had a great childhood. It's what I say to people.
Yeah.
It maybe isn't as bad as people thought, but there was soldiers there. And, then I remember getting to an age where you were told, because you seen soldiers and they had a gun, you would go over and go, let me look up your gun. And they would ask us to go into the shop because they couldn't get served. The soldiers, we would run in, and if the shop owner seen you, we'd go, I tell your fucking man, die, you're getting stuff out of fucking soldiers.
Yeah.
And you fucking were told, like, at an early age, you don't interact with them. So they were always there. Probably the maddest one was the day Mo Johnson signed for Rangers, and he was meant to sign for Celtic.
Yeah.
and I was only a kid. My mum and dad were out for something. Actually, they were out for something. They're probably in fucking court. And my aunt was watching us, which meant my aunt was in the house, but she wasn't watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, they just were out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember watching the news and I seen Mo Johnson saying it, and I seen the reaction on the news from even the Rangers fans burning their tops, fucking Catholic saying it for Rangers. So I put the full Celtic kit on, the fucking hat with the badges, the scarf, and I walked out, and there's the cops coming around, like, fuck you, you should fucking steal Mo Johnson, this bastard. The cop got out, a big slap, and he fucked me with a wall, and I remember crying, and the fella in the house, it was a wee girl that I knew, it was her daddy, he was like, I'm scared to come out, Paddy, but are you okay, son, are you okay? I think I was only 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, well, once they leave, I'll bring you in, once I, but he was scared to come out in case the fucking attacked him.
Gets nabbed, yeah, yeah.
You know, so there was wee incidents like that, but it wasn't like that. Like, going to school, they searched your bag. I remember getting arrested because we were all carrying hurdles.
But I suppose as well, Paddy, growing up in that, in your environment, it almost became normal to you.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it was completely normal.
We came down here, we, like, I remember playing in the Mosney games and fucking couldn't believe, like, once yeah. you came, and we spoke yeah. about it the last time in the podcast, once you came across the border, you were like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
The happiness.
But isn't it mad when the border actually was the border? Like,
yeah.
Like, I remember going through the border, going up the north years ago, shopping up to Newry and that. Look, like, everyone played in Dublin from working class
there,
go across
yeah.
the border. You know, the Stirling was great, and you got a lot more, and you still do get an awful lot more for your money across the border nowadays, you know? But back then, Jesus Christ, man. It was a proper manned border full of British soldiers, yeah. like, and it's mad to think that literally now we're probably an hour and 20, an hour and a half from Belfast, that there was a fucking war going on, like,
yeah.
and that's what it was.
Yeah,
doesn't make no bones about
no,
it.
No,
like,
no,
was
no,
a war,
and
like,
I probably played it down a wee bit because there was still like fucking 3,700 people killed, like, so it wasn't fucking something stupid. But yes, we grew up with that, and it was rough, and but I. I'm speaking to people from Ballymun and people from places like that, you've had it as bad as us.
In a different way, yeah, yeah.
You didn't have the fucking soldiers, you know, it was, you were poor and you had pretty soldiers on the streets.
Paddy, would it be fair to say that that upbringing that you had and living in that environment has given you a steeliness, you know, particularly for the job we do as a comedian, going out into pressurised areas where you think this could be a tough, tough gig. But has it given you, do you think, the upbringing and the background you have, it's given you that resolve, that steeliness to just fucking push on through.
Without yeah. a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. I know.
It's like getting a degree in fucking street or something.
Right.
It's a the streets is a college of knowledge.
You know, it sets you up. Like, I wouldn't worry about being any, like, but you can, you have spidey senses from being from, remember me and her were in Paris, loving life, and two of us walking, no kids and whatever. And I remember we went up where Moulin Rouge was, and I seen the move happening. Because the same guy kept appearing every four shops, and I'm like, this fucker's setting us up.
This is on.
I know exactly where you're on. I stay around there in Montmartre when I go yeah. to Paris. I know exactly where you're
so talking. I said to her, now we're walking down here, I says, the tram's up above there, and I'm looking across, and I says, when I tell you to fucking run, me and you's running out in that road, I says, and the cars are going to go beep. I says, but see them two cops up there, they're going to look over and they'll come to us because we're running in the middle of the road, but we're getting away from these fuckers. And it was like, oh, no suitcase shops. And the same guy kept appearing, and he mean, they're going to fucking rob us, they know we're fucking tourists. And next minute I seen the move happening, I seen your man, and then I seen two more of them coming around, and I went, right, we run out, car, beep, the cops. I went, come here. Next time I turn around, they were all
gone, scabbard.
So it's good that
it's like a sixth sense. You see it.
You see it happen.
And I've done that over the years as well. Been in a pub, and obviously I haven't drank the last few years. But your senses, you can see stuff happening before it actually happens. Like,
because you've been there and you've done that. You know,
you can sense the vibe, can't you? It's like there's something uneasy. So as you say, your spidey senses start tingling. And you're ready to go. Paddy, we have to finish up early today because
I was late.
And yeah, and everyone wants to go home. But before we let you go, Paddy, we want like, what are you touring at the moment? Because every time I look at you, there's a new poster, there's a new tour.
You're like, in a new place. Can I just ask one question before he goes? Where was the best place you gigged in America? Did you go to Boston?
I went to Boston. And Boston probably had the best Irish bar I've ever been in anywhere in the world. And
what was it called?
It's called the Dubliner.
Ah, yes, they were the lads that were in touch with
us. It's a guy from Donegal called Oran McGonagall, and he has got it.
Ed Sheeran played it, didn't he?
Ed Sheeran played it. Everyone goes to it. I have never been in. Do you know when people go, oh, that bar's great, but you could do that? And I've played in some Irish bars all over the world. Even in Ireland, there's not a bar like it.
Wow.
Right.
Big praise.
It's just, he has it. to a fucking tea. Everything, like from the toilets till no queue at the bar till everything.
He's food,
everything. Everything. He has a room separate for fucking gigs. He just has it to a tea. He just knows what you need.
Yeah.
And he went into a building and he went, you know what, this is what I need. And what happens is people put bars into places and they don't really fit and they're wee tiny snugs and whatever, right? He has a wee bit of everything in this one big, he sort of went into like where an office block would be.
Yeah.
And opened a bar because it was a big open space and he went, this is what we need and this is what you have.
Brilliant.
And it was unbelievable. Every night it's fucking rammed. The staff are all Irish. The manager's from Dublin.
It looks incredible. They were in touch with us on Instagram there a while ago, Paddy, about possibly bringing this over to them, doing a show, a live podcast show. They said because all the staff, as you say, they're all Irish, so they all listen to it, like, and they love it, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We could probably bring it. Wouldn't it be great if we went over next year in March, done the podcast, and yourself and Paddy went there and done a bleeding
a gig,
done a Paddy's Day gig, and done 100%. A few gigs there around Boston.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. So why are you touring at the moment, Paddy?
At the minute I'm doing regional, which is up north. So what happens is I do the big show in the arena and then I tour.
But which
regional.
Show is at the moment, Paddy?
It's Gouts Out.
Gouts Out.
It's a great name for show.
So it's basically my show this year was meant to be about me losing weight because I'd been down to 90 kilos. I was fighting again.
Well, no, you were in great
and
shape.
This guy was fucking right. That's get you into the six pack. But the show was going to be about being in your fucking 40s and the pressure you're under with Instagram and filters and fucking all that. And I was just saying, I've done it, but it's really fucking hard to keep this. And that was what the show was going to be about. And then the gout hit me when we went to Spain. 2 weeks before I fought, and I still fought, but then I was fucked for 6 months.
What's gout like, Paddy?
It's fucking like childbirth.
Is it really that
it's
bad?
It's fucking the sorest thing I've ever had in my life.
And where are you with it now? Is it sorted?
No, it never leaves you.
Okay.
It's but they say diet and all them things, but I think if your body gets loads of inflammation into it and
it adjusts.
And stress and all that, there, it hits. And it's in my elbow, has it non-stop. And then if it's in your feet to your knees, you can't fucking, you can't put the, even a sheet on it makes it sore. So you can't even be comfortable. It's not like, oh no, you get a sore leg and you put it up and that's you grab. It's just throbbing, roasting.
But then they used to say it was from good living, Paddy, and drink.
It says it was all kings had it, but that was because incest, you know?
Yeah. Genetics.
And after the famine in Ireland, the gene pool wasn't that big, and I think that's why we all have arthritis and gout and stuff like that.
That's so
where can people get tickets for the show, Paddy?
If you go on paddymcdonaldcomedy.com, you'll get the shows for the regional ones up there, but we are going to announce down south. It's not through me wanting to do it. I think it's just the way my management is.
Right.
I just need somebody to take a risk on it and just fucking let's go and book them. And I told them, I don't care if I'm playing a 60 fucking...
You're exactly like us.
I would fucking do it, you know.
No airs and graces, yeah.
No,
just do it. You just want to show, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And I know once they see me once, they'll come back again, you know.
Yeah,
well, I'm telling you, we'll talk to you after the show because we done a couple of rooms over the weekend and the one in particular in Courtney's in Lucan, you would rip the roof off the place. Mm-hmm. Holds about 120, smashing room, and smashing people as
well. Yeah, and the Peacock and Swords as well.
And the Peacock and Swords, yeah. Everyone's doing the Peacock and Swords. So
Deirdre O'Kane's doing it. We did it and sold it out.
Ting has done it as well. What's his name? The big black guy?
Marin Golo.
Reginald D. Hunter. Reginald D. Hunter has done it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great room.
Yeah.
Real square room. I have to, just a big shout out to Aidan Killian, who is a comedy promoter, and he just knows how to do it.
I was talking with him in Galway.
Well, I'm telling you,
I hadn't seen him in fucking 10 years, and then.
Well, he is the man to make contact with because he's got great rooms and he does a great job, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's the man.
So the Southern gigs aren't announced yet.
They're not announced yet,
but they will be. And if anyone wants to follow you on social medias, you're
Paddy McDonald, Paddy the Dagger on Instagram, Paddy McDonald Comedy on TikTok.
Paddy the Dagger is like, not only is he a good friend of ours, he's highly entertaining on the socials as well. His videos are fucking brilliant. You put out a few reels a week, Paddy, fair play to you. You're consistent.
I try.
You really do, but they're
I thought you were going to say you're autistic. I was going to say
they're highly entertaining and
listen, we're the best fucking storytellers in the world.
Yes.
That's without a shadow of a doubt, Paddy.
100%. Yeah. The Irish people, no matter where you go, and Australians, Americans, when they come in, New York, they come in and they're like that. Yeah. They don't understand it, but they fucking know it's a great story.
Yeah, of course.
You can tell with the rhythms and the lulls and all that. Yeah,
you just love
it,
you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's been great. We know you since the beginning. myself and Eric, and it's just great.
We've done some great gigs together.
Yeah, we've had some great times. Like, but I mean, it's great to see where you're at and that things are really happening for you.
Absolutely.
We love that, genuinely, yeah, you know.
I know you're from Belfast and we're from Dublin, but we always consider you one of our own.
Yeah,
you know,
always
sort of
have,
way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And listen, Paddy, look, we really appreciate you coming down today of all days when you were supposed to be in court.
Well, do you know what? It could have went one or two ways. I mightn't have been sitting here and you would have went, where the fuck is he? And it would have been because I got locked up. Or I was turning up in the suit. So I turned up in the suit. So
I wonder, can he do Zoom from a cell?
So who's going to drive you home?
You're sitting in court today watching them Zooms. It was fucking insane.
Was that Zooms?
All day.
No way.
Yeah, she made me wait all day. I was watching them fucking. You see all the guys sitting there and the fucking, they're like, oh. And you're like, you're ready to get caught. Then you get caught for something else.
Paddy McDonald, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Paddy.
Thank you.